We're in this series that we've titled Playlist, or My Playlist. And the idea about this series is it's not really about worship, and yet it's designed around worship. And the idea for this is that every week we're gonna look at a different song, and we're gonna talk about the song, and we're gonna allow the song to kind of construct the talk, construct our time together and what we're gonna look at. So every week the lyrics have been different, and they have led us in a different direction. The idea with this playlist issue is we all have playlists, and they're designed to help us make the most of specific environments and activities in our life. So we'll create a playlist for exercise, or we'll create a playlist for hanging out with our friends, maybe a playlist that's designed for our kids or driving, something like that. And while the melody can move us, what really happens is that the lyrics are what feed us. Sometimes those playlists are bad. Sometimes it feeds us in a negative way. But when that playlist is something designed around worship, what happens is that the lyrics feed us. In fact, there's a scripture that is what David said in Psalms 63. He says, "So here I am in this place of worship, eyes wide open, drinking in your strength, in your glory." What David recognizes is this: when he finds himself in worship, that is where he experiences God's strength in his life. We all need strength. We all need a playlist that nourishes our spirits and our hearts and our soul. The problem is we need it more than Sundays. We need it every day of our life. A lot of people are not even aware that singing songs and worship is a response that God asked for. But there's a ton of scriptures that support it, but one of them is in Psalms 100, where David says, "Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him singing with joy." Singing is a big part of what God wants from us. Now, I like how the Message says it, because the Message says it this way, that last part. It says, "Sing yourself into God's presence," which is just a great picture, that you would sing yourself into God's presence. That's what worship does. I think it's a fill-in on your notes if you want to write it down, but worship is where God breaks up the hardness of our hearts so that we can allow his word to be planted inside of us. A lot of times what happens is we have the calloused hearts. Our hearts kind of, out of stubbornness, become hard. What worship does is God uses worship to soften our hearts so that his word can actually get planted. I would say it even this way. A lot of times when we don't participate in worship, we allow our hearts to remain hard. The word of God kind of comes and it falls on hard ground, and it never takes root and it never grows. So if we're looking at what this definition of worship is, the definition is, worship is our response to all that God is. How do you respond to all that God is? Not just what he does for you, but all that he is. In fact, God is your creator, and you exist because of him. David writes in Psalm 66, he says, "All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name." And here's why: because creation exists for its creator. That's something that we've got to understand. Creation exists for its creator. That means gratitude is really our only response to God. And that's important, because something we've got to understand, and I think it's another fill-in, you will always worship your creator. Always worship your creator. And let me explain that statement. We will always worship the one that gets the credit for who we are. So I use that term creator very loosely, because there's a lot of people that think they created themselves. There's a lot of people that said, "You know what, I'm a self-made individual. I put in a lot of work to make me who I am." We never take into account that it was God who's the one who made us. So what happens is, if we're self-made individuals, then we take the credit. We're going to elevate ourselves. We're going to speak of our greatness. We're going to speak of our accomplishments. We will be the object of our own worship. So the question is, who gets the credit for your life? Who gets the credit for who you are and the good you have received? Because that's who you will worship. The song we're looking at today is not a new song. We've done it before, but it's a great song. The name of the song is "Do It Again." And it speaks of what God has done before, he will, in fact, do again. And the reason why this song is so important for us to get is because a lot of times we go through discouragement and we think, you know what, God has forgotten. We go through times of discouragement and we think, that's it. I must have fallen off of God's radar, like we do every week. Here's what I'm asking. I don't want you just to sit and be a bystander. I don't want you to sit and listen. How do you respond to all that God is? if you close your eyes and maybe you just raise your hands like right here, if you want to raise your hands more, if you want to, however you want to respond to God, what I'm asking is that you would step out of your comfort zone this morning and that you would give yourself to God in a way that He deserves, where we are able to express to Him how much we love Him and how good He is. I want you to just close your eyes one more time. I don't know what it is that you're experiencing. I don't know what the need is in your life. I don't know what it is that we talked last week about this area of desperation, that we're desperate for God. God has to come through. And sometimes we feel like we're waiting. Sometimes we feel like we're kind of stuck. I don't know what that area is for you, but I want you to connect with God and His faithfulness in your past to what you're experiencing right now, to remind you that He is faithful. Father, you know our lives and you know each one of us individually. You know the mountains that are in our lives that need to be moved. But Father, I would guess that probably most of us in this room have experienced you moving mountains in our lives before. And if we've never experienced that in our lives personally, we probably know someone who has experienced you stepping in and moving an obstacle that was too great to be moved. That you came in, you stepped in, and you did the unthinkable. Father, what you've done in the past, you continue to do today. For all those that you have blessed, and that you what you have done in the lives of so many people, you desire to do it in our lives too. Father, give us faith to believe. Give us faith to trust. Father, may your word be the foundation of our lives that we stand upon, and it gives us strength in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Well, look, at I don't know. I love that song because there's an honesty to it, and in that honesty, it communicates that maybe this has crossed your mind in the past. Maybe you're going through it right now where you just think, I thought that God would have already showed up by now. I thought that God would have already come through by now, but it seems like for whatever the reason, God isn't showing up, and I don't understand why. And so there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of just instability in our life. Last week, we talked about how healing is an event and a process. And yet, when we're in the process of experiencing God's healing in our life, whatever that might look like for you, whatever the healing is that you need, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever the healing is that that God is doing in your life, sometimes the waiting process is a time of discouragement because it's so uncertain. If you lived in the valley, so you've been to Yosemite, and you take that drive and you go and you go through the tunnel, and as you come out of the tunnel, the valley is there before you, and it's this majestic picture of beauty. And it's once you see it, you can't unsee it. And every time you go and you experience it, at least for us, it never disappoints. It's always just as majestic. In fact, you forget how majestic it is until you see it again, and you go, wow, it is that. That's awesome. That's kind of how it is with God. We forget how awesome God is. We forget how good God is. And yet, once we experience it, then we're reminded and we're not disappointed. In fact, we're kind of like, oh, I forgot how awesome God is. But what happens if you were driving through the tunnel and as you were coming out of the tunnel, there was this gray, thick, soupy fog. And now all of a sudden, all the beauty is hidden. You drive there, the beauty is still there, but now you're not able to see it. And I think that's exactly what happens with us when we have times of discouragement in our life, when because of the delay, maybe you're waiting on God to come through, you don't understand why things are going on the way that they are, and there's this delay and discouragement, and it creates a fog that causes us to miss God's activity and God's goodness that's going on all around us. So we get discouraged because we are not able to see God's presence in our life like we would normally get to see it. This song addresses God's faithfulness. So I want to look at that for a moment. In spite of the delays that you might be experiencing, in spite of those delays that you will encounter in your life, God is still faithful. Man, he is still faithful. If you, the longer you walk with God, the more you understand that to be not just a good statement, but a true statement. And in fact, it's not just a true statement. It is a statement that infuses us with strength to be reminded that God is always faithful. Always. If there's a way that I can try to communicate it with you that would, there is never, ever, ever a time in your life. There is never a time in your life where God is unfaithful, because he is always faithful. God will always do what he said. That's what faithfulness means. God will always do what he said and fulfill what he has promised. Whatever God has promised, whatever God has said that he will do, faithfulness says that that will in fact happen every time. God always comes through. His faithfulness connects us to God's promises for our lives. And the reason God's promises are so important is because of this. God is only as good as his word. God is good, but you will never believe in the goodness of God unless you know God's word to be true. That he says, when he says, I'm going to come through, that he actually does come through. If we don't think that God keeps his word or his promises, then we're not going to look at him as good. Another reason why God's promises are important is because trust requires reliability. If we're ever going to trust God, then there's got to be a sense of reliability, or you're never going to trust him. We'll never trust God if we think he's fickle, erratic, unreliable. We live in a world where people don't keep their promises. They don't keep their word. In fact, people a lot of times are full of empty promises. And what happens is sometimes we feel that very same way towards God. We project what we experience from people, and we kind of project that onto God. See, a promise, just so we know we're on the same page, a promise is an offer with a guaranteed result. When God makes a promise to you, he makes an offer to you with a guaranteed result. If God says he's going to provide for you, then he's going to provide for you, and you've got to trust and believe him for that. He doesn't just like say, hey, I'm going to possibly, if I get around to it. God will always provide for you because he said he's your provider. We talked about this last week. God says that he is your healer. For whatever you're going through, the healing might not, you might not experience that healing in this life, but you might experience it when you pass on to heaven. But you can guarantee this, that when you get to heaven, your life will be free of any kind of physical ailments, any kind of emotional ailments, or spiritual. You will be completely whole because God is faithful. God promises. Then we have this assurance that God is going to do what he says that he'll do. The words I promise are words that can build us up or tear us down, depending on if people follow through with them. We all have grown up where maybe it's parents and they stood at an altar and they made a promise to love, honor, and cherish. Maybe it was a spouse to love, honor, and cherish, and they didn't follow through the promise and it destroys us. Kids experience that with parents. Parents promise to do something and they're just empty promises. We've been let down by people. And a lot of times, because we're let down by people, we have problems believing that God will actually do what he says that he'll do. But we can never allow people to define God. If you are allowing your experiences with people to define God in your life, you're minimizing God in a very big way. Numbers 23 tells us this, that God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? And the answer is obviously no. He has never not carried it through. He has never failed to act. Humans can lie. Humans change their mind. God does not. And here are some things we need to know about who God really is. If you want to know God's faithfulness, we have to discover God at a deeper level. We have to get to know his character. And the first thing we can look at is this. God cannot lie because he is truth. God's never going to lie to you because he cannot lie. He is truth. It doesn't mean that God tells the truth. He does. What it means more than him telling the truth, it means that he is defined by truth. And that's a game changer. See, Hebrews 6 tells us this, that God has given both his promise and an oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have this great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Because God doesn't lie. So if God says he's going to provide, he does not lie, and he does provide for you. We have to believe. As I said, God cannot lie because God's character is truth. Jesus said this about the character of Satan. He said that Satan has always hated the truth because there was no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That God's character is truth. He cannot lie, nor will he ever lie to you. And because of that, on a deeper level, what happens is we have a sense of confidence and hope because of God's character. God wants you to experience a sense of confidence that he's always going to come through, that you're absolutely sure that God is going to come through. And not only that, but he wants you to have hope because he's reliable. Go back to the scripture we read just a little bit ago. It is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we have those of us who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold on to the hope that lies before us. Gosh, when our perception and our opinion of God is based on our experience with people, what happens is we miss God's character. We miss God's nature. We've let people define God for too long. And even in Romans, Paul addresses it. He says, some people are unfaithful. But just because they're unfaithful doesn't mean that God will be unfaithful. Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is still true. So when someone gives their word or makes a promise, it breathes life into us. It inspires us to keep going. But promises are only as reliable as the person that's giving them. Words have no more value than the person who speaks them. One more scripture that reminds us, might even redefine who God is for you, and that's this. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going, because he, God, always keeps his word. God keeping his promises reflects to us his love, his compassion, and his heart for you personally. Listen, when God is reliable, when we have this confidence, we're in touch with this thing that God is good and he cares about me. He cares about what you are going through. He cares about what you personally are experiencing. And when we understand that, it increases our confidence and it reminds us that God is not just this object in the sky, but he is this personal deity that lives with us. He's familiar with all that we're going through. God wants you to know that he's completely reliable. He is all that you need. He wants to give you strength for difficult days, peace for turbulent times, joy when there's nothing to be joyful about. He wants you to have hope for today and hope as well for tomorrow. He wants you to have hope for your future. He wants you to have the encouragement that you need for life, for your family, for your marriage, for the difficulties that come into your life. See, the strength that we have in life is based on our opinion of how reliable God's promises are. That's important to understand that. The strength of your life is based on your opinion of how reliable God is. So if you think that God's not that reliable, guess what happens to your strength? It diminishes. We will not turn to a God if we think that he is unreliable. If we're ever going to trust God, we have to know this character we've already looked at. We have to know God's promises as well. If we're ever going to trust God, we've got to know God's promises. The Bible contains these promises. It's full of them, thousands of them. 1 Peter says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you and I to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Because God's promises actually change how we look at life. It changes us. When we know God's promises, we get exposed to God's promises. We start believing God for bigger things. You might know the scripture, Jeremiah 32 reminds us. He says, I'm the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is there anything too hard for me? Obviously, no. And when we realize that there's nothing that's too difficult for God, and we realize that, all of a sudden we start asking God for greater things. Jesus even said, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. I think what happens a lot of times is we don't get into the Bible to even know what God promises us anymore. I mean, you've got to get into the Bible to understand and know what God promises. And also, if you don't, these are great, these books of God's promises. When you go through times of difficulty, times of failure, times of death, when your enemy's finding God, they have all kinds of topics. But all of these topics point you to promises of God's presence and what God said he will do when you go through those things. It's important to know that. If you don't have one and you need one, you can take this one afterwards. See, we have to get into the Bible. And if we're going to trust God, we have to pursue God's promises. It's not enough just to know them. We've got to pursue them, search them out. In Romans, Paul reminds us that Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. That's what happens when we pursue God's promises, is our faith increases and we start believing and our confidence grows. God wants your confidence to grow in him. Also, if we're ever going to trust God, we have to believe and act on God's promises. We have to believe and act on them. If you remember, God delivered his people, Israel, from slavery in Egypt, and he promised to deliver them. He promised to provide for them. He promised to feed them, to be with them, to go with them, to lead them, guide them. He promised to dwell with them at every turn that they had. And he even said, I will give you your own land. And yet these people were still fearful. They still complained and they still doubted. And why would they still doubt? Because they did not believe that God would do what he said he would do. Their strength diminished because they had no faith to actually believe that God would do what he said he would do. In Hebrews 4, it says this, we receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. We have to believe and act on God's promises if we're going to experience God's promises. So how do you receive God's promises with faith? I mean, first of all, we know that we go to God because he's a loving father and we ask for what we need. We know that God is this loving father who cares about what we're going through, and we don't hesitate to ask him. A loving father wants to provide for our needs. But the truth is we'll never go to God if we don't know that he is good and he is for us. We'll never go to God if we don't know and if we're not convinced that he's good and that he is for you. Why would we ever go to God for anything? There's still a lot of people that believe that God is out to get them because they're not good enough. Listen, if we're ever going to receive God's promise with faith, we have to make his word the foundation of our life. God's word, his promises, have to be the foundation of our lives. In other words, what we build our lives on. In other words, see, it's like this. We don't adjust the Bible to fit our lives. We adjust our lives to fit God's word. Do you understand that? Because there's a lot of us that we kind of go, you know what, well, that might have been for a different time, or that might have not been what God really, so we don't change our lives, we change God's word to match our lives. If God's word's ever going to be the foundation of our lives, then what happens is we've got to change our lives to match his word. If God's word tells us to do something, we do it. If we're going to receive God's promises with faith, we make God's word the foundation of our lives, and we allow God's word or his promises to encourage us. We remind ourselves that God said that what he's promised would actually happen. And when we are convinced that what he says will happen, that promise breathes life into us. It breathes hope into us. That's what Psalms 119 says. These words hold me up in bad times. Yes, your promises rejuvenate me. And you know what? I think a lot of times we forget God's promises, and so, you know, our lives, we go through discouragement because we're never rejuvenated. Another one is, if we're going to receive God's promises with faith, we have to hold tightly to what we believe deeply, because there's an enemy that would love to snatch from you any kind of faith that you have in God's promises and God's word. When I say hold tightly to what we believe deeply, what you are convinced of, when God says he's making this promise and we believe that wholeheartedly, when God says he's going to come through, we wholeheartedly hold on to that. In other words, we bank everything on it. We go all in. If you're looking at it as chips on a table, you take all of your chips and you're all in. I'm willing to bet everything on God's promise. Everything. Because I have nothing without God's promise. When God makes a promise, it's what we make our decisions on. We base our decisions on God's promises in our life. So what is the promise that you're holding on to? What is the scripture that you're holding on to? Because I want to remind you, there's nothing that God can't do. God says that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. God says that he's your healer. God says that he's your provider. God says that he's with you. God says that he's for you. Hebrews 10:23, once again, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going, because God always keeps his word. I don't know what it is that you have needed in your life. Maybe you're kind of even entering into this time of your life where there's so much uncertainty because you've never traveled this way before. You've never gone through this before. I want to remind you that God has moved mountains in your life in the past, that God has moved mountains for people in the past, and your mountain, whatever it is not too great for God to move. And what God has done in the past, he absolutely will do it again. You look through the Old Testament time and time again, constantly what God did is God did this thing where he called his people to build altars. I don't know, maybe you stumbled across those and you've read them yourself. And an altar that God designed or he asked them to build was a marker in their life that reminded them of what God did right there, how God came through. When God parted the waters, when God led them safely through this, when they conquered somebody, what he would do is he said, I want you to build an altar right there. I want it to remind you of what I have done for you. Because there's going to come a time in your life when you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to come and you're going to walk by this altar, and it's going to remind you how I was with you. It's going to remind you of what I've done in your past, and it's going to remind you that I'm faithful. Here's the thing. Our lives are supposed to be an altar. That there's so all the things in our lives where God has come through. You can look back at your life, you can look through your life, and you can time and time again see where God has come through. And what I want to encourage you today is I want it to remind you that God is faithful. And what God has done for you in the past, he will do it again. And yes, you might be waiting a long time. You might be even going through a time of discouragement or a time of uncertainty, or maybe you're just going through that time where you've not really walked this road before. God is faithful. Father, you see each one of us that are here today going through different things in our lives. Some of them are really great. Some of us are going through very difficult times in our lives. Some of us maybe not so difficult, but just still troubling. Father, you see the discouragement. You see the doubts. You see anxiety and fear and all these natural things that kind of we deal with. But Father, when we recount your activity in our lives, when we recount your activity in the lives of others, when we recount your presence in people that love you, what we find is you are always faithful. Father, may your faithfulness and may your promises increase our faith. Father, may it build in us a confidence that overtakes fear and anxiety. Father, may it remind us that you're active and that you're present, and that we're not in whatever we're in alone. We don't have to face this on our own. We face it with you. So Father, today, for those that need healing, that you would heal. For those that need spiritual healing today, that you would heal. Father, for those that need emotional healing. Father, for those that need provision, that you would provide. Whatever our need is, Father, we know one thing, and that's all we need is you. Thank you for your faithfulness. May we have faith in your goodness for us. In Jesus' name, amen.